right, welcome back to the second hour of the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show right here in beautiful Tucson, Arizona. It is daylight now. The weather is just going to be perfect today. Good day for golfing and walking and hiking and riding horses and whatever else you want to do. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Along with me, riding shotgun as usual, Mr. Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing. Good morning again, Jim. Hope you got your coffee cup filled up. You don't drink coffee.
Yep.
Hope you got your teacup filled up.
That's it. I got it. My teacup filled up and good to go. You know, teetotaling. So, good morning, everybody out there. Good morning. Thanks for listening. Remember, 520-719-1490. 520-719-1490. Feel free to call in. Give us your take on whatever we're talking about or going a different direction. We're all good for that, too. Remember, folks, it's Super Safe Saturday once again. Once again, we're back on Super Safe Saturday. I know they keep coming around like clockwork. Well, you're right. Here they are again. So what does that mean? That means no drinking and driving, no texting and driving. You know, texting while sitting in your car while it warming up is okay, but that's not driving. Well, you could get an argument there, but if the car's in park and the car's idling, you're okay. In a safe location. We'll put that in there. And yes, no drinking, no Uber
sign.
If you need to. That's right. Yeah, not at the stop sign. That's right. Not at the stop sign. No good at the stop sign. Got to be parked in a parking spot. So, if you're out there driving, like I said, it's going to be a beautiful day out here in Tucson, Arizona, nice and warm, probably close to 75 degrees. So all those of you back there in the middle of somewhere where it's not 75 degrees, well, there you go. That's why we live here. So we're going to enjoy it. It's rodeo weekend. So if you're going to go out to the rodeo, enjoy yourself. Just make sure you do it in a safe way. If you're out there driving this morning, or if you're driving to the rodeo today or tomorrow, make sure you watch out for the bicyclists and the dog walkers and the horse riders and anybody else out there. No, so that's why we don't text and drive. If you're working on your car, remember the jack stands. If you're jacking it up, chalk your wheels, put your keys in your pocket, put your hood prop up so it doesn't fall on your head. Don't stand in front of your car if it's running. Don't have long hair or long clothes around the rotating components. If the car is running, you don't want to get your sleeve caught in the belt. That's a rough day. Safety glasses. You know, I forgot to mention this the last go around. Safety glasses. Always put your safety glasses on, folks. You'll never remember safety glasses so much as after you have a trip to the eye doctor. Been there, done that one. So if you're working on brakes and stuff, put on some good gloves. Get some good mechanics gloves. I know they're kind of pricey, but, boy, your hands will thank you time and time again. So other than that, I think that's it. I think that's it for everything I got in there, all my rigmarole.
Yeah.
Did I miss something, Jerry?
That sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good, you know. If you just safety first. Don't forget to use your stands, your hood props, stuff like Jim was talking about. And it is supposed to rain again this week, I think Monday. So if you haven't changed your windshield wiper blades because you haven't driven your car, you might want to take a peek at them and make sure they're in good shape and they're not rolled over. In other words, when you straighten them, when you pick the arm off the window and look at it, if the rubber on the windshield wiper blade is rolled, in other words, it needs to be straight. And if it's not straight, then it's bad because it'll only work one direction. And that's very irritating. And it also makes a brr, 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 brr. And that's irritating, along with it don't work. So you check your windshield wiper blades. Windshield wiper blades in Arizona are scheduled every 6 months. And the only way you're going to get out of not replacing them in 6 months, if you take them off and don't put them on the windshield, or if you wear a sock or something on them, which looks stupid driving down the road because a sock takes up a lot of space. And some of the motor homes, they make covers for the motor homes. I think they're about $20 for two. for a motorhome. But if you got a motorhome windshield wiper blade that's 36 inches, 40 inches, stuff like that. So, and it sets just like the cars do when you're not using them, and it cooks on these big windshields. So if you got a motorhome, you might, and they're about $100 for a set. Some of them are $100 a piece. So on a motorhome, you're going to have to take just a little bit of extra care for them. Put something over them so the sun can't cook them when you're on the windshield. It don't really have to be pretty. It just has to work. Just has to work. So anyway, this portion of the show, and I guess I better get some of the sponsors on. this portion of the show and the last hour was sponsored by Spectre Minor Road Auto Collision, 520-744-4454. You can talk to anybody over there. Excellent shop on the west side of 4425 West Ina Road. But the phone number is your critical thing, 520-744-4454. If you crash your car, or if you just want it painted because it's faded out, you want it painted, you want it fixed, you want it repaired. Electric, he does work on Teslas. I know that for a fact because he liked to never get the parts in to fix them. And, but that was here a few years ago. I'm sure that they've got them readily on the shelf right now. But if you have an accident and you want it taken care of, all you do is call Frontier Towing at 748-1100, have them pick it up, have them take it over to Spectre Minor Road Auto Collision, and just give them a number, that's a claim number, and then they will take it from there. They will do the photos. They will do the negotiations. They will get everything from the insurance companies that you have, and they'll make it happen. And it's a lot easier than the aggravation that you'll go through trying to do it yourself. Trust me, had a couple of these things in my lifetime, and I did it exactly what I'm telling you to do, and it worked out better. I tried it one time the other way, and that was my learning process. So after I learned, I took it off of my bucket list. Okay, I've learned that now. I'm going to use it. And the other thing that I learned real quick, because when you have an accident, your brain falls out, for lack of a better, you can understand what I'm saying when I say your brain falls out. You talking about, you know, you take some medications, you have brain fog, you crash, your brain falls out. Hopefully not literally, but it gets to be a problem because you can't remember anything. Write it down. Write your emergency numbers down. Put it on one card, like the old 3x5 card that your mom used to use for recipes and stuff like that. Big enough, write the letters big enough so that if you wear readers like Jim and I do, you won't have to put your readers on. You can actually see the numbers because you're going to be busy with your brain falling out. So just take the excitement out of it. As soon as you relax, then everything is nice. But have those numbers out there in big, bold letters. Then you'll know what to do. You need your insurance company. You know, you carry a card. I know that. Okay. I also know it's buried in your purse or buried in your billfold. Write it down on the same piece of paper as you have your tow company, your insurance company, and the place you're going to send it to, like in this case, Spectrum. Have these numbers written down so you pull it out. Oh, and here's my claim number. Put your claim number on that little piece of paper and write down your insurance company name. Like if it's a State Farm or Farmers or Geico or whatever it is, write down. Is it State Farm or Farmers? Write this stuff down. You'll have it right at your fingertips. So, you know, it'll save you a lot of aggravation. Trust me on this one. A lot of aggravation. All right. You know, Frontier Towing.
That's super good information about writing it down. Folks, I mean, Jerry makes a very excellent point. When a crash occurs, because I've been to my fair share of crashes, and I can tell you for a fact that you may think you'll know what to do, but rest assured you will not. And nobody practices how to get in a car crash. Nobody practices how to get in a in an emergency situation. It just doesn't happen. So Jerry's point is hits home with me because I see it all the time. He says write it down, and that's excellent advice. A lot of the problem is what we see is, I know people say this, oh, advertise here, advertise there, but I, without a doubt, can tell you that when you're in an emergency situation, the first thing you do is reach out to a trusted friend. That might be a mom or a dad, it might be a spouse, it might be a partner, it might be a good friend, because you need to get a person connected to you that can think straight. Not you don't want the emotional person. You want somebody who can actually help you through the situation. And what I actually have told people, because this came to me from somebody else actually, is their solution was that the dad had a daughter, and the daughter was here in Arizona, and he was in Connecticut. And so what he did is he had all of her information, and vice versa. She had all of his. So what happened, if there was an issue, she reached out to him, and then he could relate the information to her, back to her, because he's not the emotional wreck right now. So that was basically a partnership that allowed the conveyance of the information in a nice, easy, concise manner, because Jerry said it right. Your head falls out. Your brain falls out. And you may have been involved in a crash. You may not have. You may have had, you know, a tragic situation. But, there's a lot of things that go on. And remembering, you know, all the things you're supposed to do is at the bottom of the list. So if you know that you're not going to be.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It really is. And I say this because I see it. People are very, they don't know what to do. I've never been in a crash before. I don't know what to do. What do I do? You know, you hear it 1,000 times a day. Oh, you know, write down the other guy's driver's license or write down the guy's license plate number. And you can't remember any of that stuff. Your brain just empties out and lays on the ground, just like Jerry said. It's amazing because you think you know, but human beings, the natural reaction is to emotionally react, and that's a really tough situation to be in. So when you say reach out, you know, reach out to a friend or somebody, hey, here's my insurance, here's my vehicle type, here's my insurance type, here's the people I call, if it's Spectrum, if it's me, if it's Jerry, here's all the people that I want you to reach out to, boom, 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 done. And I know you can Google it on your phone, you could try, but you know, when you're standing there in a crash with, you know,
when your hands are shaking, the fingers don't work on these little phones.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what you're going to run into.
That's right. That's exactly right. When you're out there shaking, scared to death, you have fire, police, ambulance, there's, you know, a mass of spectators, you know, because everybody's going to stop, you know, oh, I saw everything. You know, the information overload to you is just enormous. So the thing of you remembering somebody's telephone number, you know, you'll remember the trusted friend's phone number. That's what I mean. So anything else, you're never going to remember anything else. You're not going to remember what your name is sometimes.
Hey, guys.
It's really critical.
Right.
Hey, we got a special
guest.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Are we ready to have him on?
Yeah, bring him on.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hello.
This is Mr. Tesla.
Good morning. How are you doing, Brian? I'm glad you could make it on this morning. Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Yep. As it is.
Yep. Well,
I tell you,
I appreciate. Go ahead. You know, I talked to you this week, and we were talking, and you said that you run into oil leaks. You're seeing a lot of oil leaks. You want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, as I've said before, you know, if you have oil on the ground or any fluid at all underneath your car, you really need to get it in and get it checked out. You know, I get the customer comes in and he says, well, how bad's it leaking? Well, what do you mean how bad's it leaking? It's leaking. It shouldn't be. You know, everything is sealed. And I mentioned before that the catastrophic damage that can happen with, you know, your rubber components underneath. You know, you got control arm bushings that get oil soaked and then they're no good. You got engine mounts, you've got belts, you've got hoses. And let's talk about this thing that we found this week, wiring. Oil will destroy wiring harnesses. And in this instance, the car, the customer's concern was the engine was overheating. Well, yes. It was. It wasn't because it had a coolant antifreeze leak. It was because the computer was not controlling the fans. Okay? Come to find out what happened, this thing had a whole slew of codes in it. We had to go through and pinpoint test these things out, which took quite a bit of time. And lo and behold, we discovered that the engine harness was soaked in oil. The valve cover was leaking. It ran down under the engine harness, got inside of the split loom. That's that accordion-looking piece that goes over all the wires. And we're talking a wad of wires about an inch and a half across, all inside this loom. Now, that plastic loom is round, of course, and it makes a nice little river where the oil can get inside and run all the way down the wires, okay? Well, in this particular Ford 2013 Escape, the computer, they decided to locate it in the worst place that it could be. I don't know why. They would put it in the driver's front wheel well, down low. Now, this computer is sitting there, susceptible to water, dirt, and everything else. Usually the computers, they locate them up high and in the firewall or close to it, okay? But no, this one was down low. So guess where this oil went? It traveled all the way down the harness, all the way down to the computer in the front driver wheel well, and filled the harness full of oil and the computer. Now, how bad is that oil leak? It's a bad deal. Because, look, it needs a wire harness because the insulation on the wires is all turned to mush and is coming off. The computer's connector's full of oil. The computer's full of oil. And oil and electricity, they don't like each other. Causes all kinds of problems because you're driving a computer with wheels. And when you've got voltage drops, voltage going to places where it's not supposed to be going at a particular time, you've got a huge problem. So this little leak, how bad is it? It's not a laughing matter. I mean, we're talking replacing the engine harness, the computer, and everything else to the tune of almost $4,000. Now, the problem is, I could buy the computer, but I can't buy the wire harness. Can't be bought. And to find one in a wrecked car somewhere, the likelihood of that is very slim, that you would find one that was in good condition. So basically, the moral of this story is that oil leak could have been prevented of having this catastrophic event. So like I've always said, pay attention. If you've got fluid leaks, get them taken care of, because you could have had a simple, you know, valve cover replacement, gasket, you know, replaced and not had this catastrophic event. But in this case, I mean, the car is not usable. You can't use it. It's done because of an oil leak. So like I always say, have your car inspected. When you get that oil service done, make sure they do a good inspection and report back to you as to what's going on underneath the hood of this car, because there is so much damage that can happen from an oil leak, an antifreeze leak. These fluids will attack the wiring in the cars and cause catastrophic damage. I mean, you heard it here first. This actually happened. So pay attention. That's all I got to say.
Wow. Well, that, yeah, well, we've known it for years and years and years. But, you know, and it's just like, you know, you made a good point. How bad is the leak? Well, when the oil heats up, it leaks a little bit more. When it cools down, it leaks a little bit less. There is no other way to explain it. It's a leak. When it gets out, when that oil base hits a rubber, anything, motor mounts, transmission mounts, and, oh, and by the way, when it gets on the catalytic converter that's kind of warm, it's subject to burn. So you don't mess with oil leaks. Most of everything out there on the market right now has catalytic converter. They've got little shields around them. Good luck with that. And but when you've got bad oil leaks and it's running down the exhaust pipe to the catalytic converter, I have had one of these. I was lucky I was running full synthetic. It didn't flame up because the flame, it takes more. It'll go a higher temperature before it ignites. But it did run down, and it did get on the catalytic converter. And that was something that didn't show up, but on a tow to northern Arizona with a horse trailer, it showed up going up I-17. So, you know, it was waiting on a good opportune time, and that's when it happened. So you can't predict it. I can't predict it. But that's the reason you need to pop the hood. You know, learn how to open the hood. And if you got a little flashlight, you know, you can buy them for about $5 or something like that at Ace Hardware. Get you a little flashlight. Keep it. You can put it under your hood someplace. You know, you can get them with magnets and stuff like that. Or you can put it in your dash along with that notification in case you get in a car wreck. And look for anything out of the ordinary, like frayed belts. You know, the belts are coming apart. And you don't have to be a technician. You will see it. It doesn't look normal. And you're going, okay, if I were going to make this belt, would I make it with all these loose threads coming out of the side of it? No, you wouldn't. So that means it is bad. If you've got an oil leak, you will see it. It looks like an oil leak. If you've got water, or it looks like water, or an oil laying on the top of the battery, that is not good. You can do this with a two-minute look around on top of your engine. Just take your little flashlight, because some of you will be in the garage, some of you will be, it may be later on during the day, or earlier on during the day or something like that. So just a little flashlight, shine it down around just around the engine, and that'll get you used to looking for things down around. Keep in mind, oil is gravity-based. It goes to the ground. When it blows out, as you're driving down the road, and it accrues more than a mist, it will drop to the ground or down back under your vehicle chassis. So you can find,
you know, you're talking flashlight. About batteries makes me think of the day that I had a Dodge Caravan come into the shop, and the battery was leaking. Okay, contrary to belief, batteries are not supposed to leak. Now, along with this, the real reason the customer came in, he was having weird problems with his vehicle, not running correctly, cooling fans not working properly. Just array of different things going on with this vehicle, and it was really a mystery because there was a lot of things going on. And when you get that many codes in the vehicle, you got to stand back and say, hey, wait a minute. Are these all related to a voltage problem possibly? Well, in most cases they are, because you just don't have 10, 15 codes all at once. Usually they're all related to a voltage problem. So in this case, in Dodge's ultimate wisdom, they ran the engine harness underneath the battery tray. So the battery was leaking and leaking into the engine harness on this vehicle. Well, guess what? It ate all the insulation off the wires. Now you got wires touching each other. Now you got all kinds of problems. So back to a wiring issue. You know, that vehicle needed an engine harness. Well, I couldn't buy one. If I could buy one, the cost on that engine harness was around $2,000, plus the labor to install. But we couldn't get one, and the only alternative I had was I had to fix it. So I removed the battery tray, and went in and opened up the harness. I call it fillet the harness, and open it up and spread all the wires out and fix each wire one by one by one. I made over 100 connections repairs to that wire harness. It took me all day long, all because of a leaking battery. So like I said, contrary to belief, batteries are not supposed to leak. They'll do major damage to wire harnesses, not to mention the connections, the battery cables, which today are quite expensive. You just don't run to your local store and say, hey, I need a battery cable end that's about 12 inches long, and I'm going to put it in. Doesn't work that way anymore. That battery cable usually has a whole bunch of other things hooked to it, and it's all part as one, and it takes off and goes to the power distribution box, which is the big fuse box under the hood. So you're not just going to buy a 12-inch battery cable and hook it up. That isn't going to fly. So contrary to belief, there's another leak that can cause catastrophic events. So like Jerry said, get your little flashlight out, open your hood, look around. See if you see anything out of the ordinary, like something leaking, some fluid, or a battery. Leaking running down onto other components will do major, major, major damage. So heads up. Pay attention.
Hey, Brian, I got a question for you. What happens when that battery fluid on the top is introduced to the spark coming off of that wiring loom?
In some instances, you could get a nice little fire going.
That's
you know, it's.
I would love to have a fire on top of my battery, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the battery usually goes boom. And if you've ever seen a battery explode, you honestly you don't want to.
Lord, no.
Like a cannon going
no,
on.
No, no. That's like a bomb. It's like a bomb.
Yep.
It'll bounce a 3/4-ton GMC truck driving down the freeway at 55 miles an hour when the auxiliary battery blows up. I know I was driving that truck. So, and that was a brand new battery with nothing wrong. It just had a short inside on the battery. And, but it actually bounced. I thought I had run over a foreign car, a little car that I couldn't see or something. Even though it didn't make sense because I was paying attention, but I wasn't running that fast. But when that battery went, I mean, it was a mess. I had battery plates out of the battery laying across the top of the engine. And why it didn't burn, it just must not had any other sparks. I guess it blew itself out when it blew up. But you don't want that to happen to you. Batteries,
no,
like Brian says, and I have yet, after 50 years in the business, I've yet to see the exceptions. Batteries do not leak. If batteries are leaking, you need to clean the top of it off. If you pour in water in a battery and you get some battery water on top of the battery and stuff like that, when you get through, you clean that battery. You clean the battery. You can use baking soda. It works perfect. Use baking soda. That'll neutralize the thing. Do not pour baking soda
in an open access to a battery. You if you got the covers over them, you're going to pull them off. They're normally at about three or four at a time on the batteries, as far as the little covers. Do not put baking soda on top of that motor to clean it while you've got the covers off of the holes that allow access to the inside. Trust me on this one. No, you can drop enough where you can't even really. It can be on the end of your finger, and it can go inside one of those, and you would not believe the chemical reaction you see. Don't do it. So, you know, if you're afraid to do it, good. You can use Coca-Cola, but you still don't pour Coca-Cola inside of a battery. You pour it on top of the battery and let it go. It'll clear. It'll foam up and go down because it's about as stout as battery acid. And but you can clean it that way. But then you get a handful of paper or paper towels and some gloves. Just remember, that stuff will burn you. The battery acid is hot. As far as chemical, it will burn you. So, you know, and water is what they use to flush, get it off your hands or get it out from under inside the engine compartment. And don't clean it on your concrete because it'll turn an orange color when it gets to the concrete. So just use some bunch of papers. Floor covering or something like that when you're working on this. But remember that battery, if it's got liquid on top of it, you do not want a spark. You do not want to ground a battery to a big spark while that stuff's on top of the battery because it will ignite. It's liquid, highly flammable. So just that's my two cents worth. Jim, you got anything you want to pour on that?
Well, just the battery shorting out thing. Yeah, folks, if you've never seen a battery explode, Brian's right. That is not something you ever want to witness. And if you think you're going to jump start a car after you've cranked the car dead, and that battery is smoking hot. I mean, it's hot. You can't even put your hand on it. It's so hot. Rest assured, when you go to jumpstart that and you arc the terminal, just because that's how it works, you're gonna have a bit of a problem on your hand because likelihood of the venting of sulfuric acid, hydrogen sulfuric acid, which is highly explosive, you will have an explosion in your face. So, and I like the comment, Brian, about the battery cables. You can get a 12-inch battery cable at AutoZone. It don't mean it's going to work. I've seen them grafted in a new, and I'm sure you have to, in a myriad of ways, you know, kind of twisted together with black tape or twisted together with a cable clamp. This is all bad, all bad design. Most of them, the ones I love when they try and repair the positive cable and it's laying up against laying up against the frame. That's always good for a short out. And then, you know, folks, the thing about leaking batteries or batteries that smell, you know, there are certain cars that are particularly sensitive to battery conditions. For example, and Brian can probably attest this, Corvette has a cabin air filter right behind the battery. Like this, what is it? I think it's the C6, like the 05 to 12. The cabin filter's right behind the battery. Not sure who thought that was a good idea, but if your battery's in bad condition, you know what you get your mouth full of? Battery fumes. So just saying, proper battery maintenance is always a good thing. So I thought that was kind of an interesting place to put a cabin air filter. So, but hey, you know, I wasn't the engineer on site. Maybe he was soon to be fired from GM, and he wanted to show his little. Maybe he wanted to show a little fun there. So I don't know. But
Lord.
Well, so, for those of you where Automotive Specialist is, we're located 3611 West Ina Road. That's one stoplight east of Ina in Thornydale. You turn south on Meredith. We're located behind O'Reilly Auto Parts. Great big building back there, six bays. Automotive Specialists. Our phone number is 572-1734. That's 572-1734. Give us a call, set up an appointment. We can get your vehicle in and get it checked out. Remember, it's all down to that inspection and make sure, you know, we're reporting back to you as the vehicle's condition. You can also go to our website, which is automotivespecialistaz.com. And if that's too much to type in, just type in test first, don't guess. Trust me, it'll take you right to our website. So it's Automotive Specialist. Give us a call. We'll get you in. We'll help you out with your automobile. We're open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5.
Perfect. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it, buddy. Don't work too hard today or tomorrow.
Well, that being said, I'm going to have to get going to work. I got about 2.5 acres of weeds I need to spray today.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
They'll be back in 2 days anyway.
Well, I'm not talking walking around with a little 3-gallon sprayer. I've got a little tractor with a 4-foot boom on the back, which I'm thinking about extending out to 8-foot wide with a 10-gallon tank and electric pump. I'm going to put spray down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old farmer in me.
Well, you've got a plan, buddy. So you have a good weekend. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
the information. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. 520-719-1490. We can talk about anything. Yeah, you want to spray weeds? We can talk about spraying weeds. I can tell you what don't do. And but any like oil, a lot of your you question the oil that you're running inside your vehicles. But anytime they said, okay, now you've got a car that you can drive 10,000 miles, and you have the oil change at 10,000 miles, and it's going to be perfect. It's going to just run right on through 100,000 miles, no problem. Okay. If you want to do that in a severe duty, now I'll give you an idea of what severe duty is. And Arizona qualifies for severe duty. In fact, most of the states qualify for severe duty. It depends entirely on what you have. And to back up my case, you can have a car that, like my diesel, I'm getting concerned about my diesel now because it only has 31,000 miles on it, and it's like 7 years old. And I'm going, okay, now what could possibly go wrong with a diesel if you don't drive it? Well, a diesel was not designed to sit in the driveway. Wasn't designed to go grocery shopping all the time. It's designed to work. You've got to bring the RPMs up, the engine temperature, and you need a good additive in it, something like a BG chemical or a power service or something. Diesels, you can't cheat. If you cheat, when you go in to have them repaired, you're going to faint. You're just going to say, okay, somebody get the oxygen. The cemetery, get the oxygen. I'm going to need oxygen in order to get out of here. That's basically what you're going to do on diesels. You got these big motorhome with diesel pushers on them? I'm telling you, you better run a good fuel additive in there, a diesel fuel additive. Diesel fuel, in my opinion, of course, it's better now than it used to be, but I relate diesel fuel, since I was raised on a farm with tractors, diesel tractors and stuff. I relate diesel tractor fuel, diesel fluid, diesel fuel with dig a hole in an asphalt road. Just dig a hole. I mean, go right out in front. I can go right out in front of my house and dig a hole in there. In fact, I don't have dig a hole. It's already there. I could fill it up with five gallons of water. Just dig it up. Mix it up a little bit, pull it out, and that's basically diesel fuel. Diesel fuel is one step above asphalt in the process. And I think what they finally done is they did change the additives from diesel fuel and asphalt. They did use a little bit of different additive in the bottom of it. But diesel, you used to be able to run 10% of anything in that. And now they've refined it down, way down. And they used to have injectors on there that were as big as the pull of the ink pen apart and use the case of the ink pen, and look at it. Just pick it up and look at it, straight at it, and you'll see a hole there. That's what the injector size used to be. People, they're so fine now. You got to use a microscope to see them coming out of the end. The 3,000 psi. That's a bunch of pressure, and it's got to come through this itty bitty teeny hole that is smaller than the end of a needle. So you know, the stuff needs to be kept clean. Fuels need to be filters need to be changed on all of this stuff, especially. It's not like it was 20 years ago. And that's what we're trying to explain to you so that you don't spend additional monies that you don't have to spend. But there is some monies that you need to do. If you've got a diesel, you put some good fuel additive in there. Put some algae control additive in there. Power Service has one of the best on the market. You can Google Power Service. It'll give you what products are available for your diesel. They have additional products too. But you can go on the Power Service and it'll give you the technical data on why you need it. This is not a BS thing. It is for real. Read it, learn it. If you've got a diesel, most of people like me, once you own a diesel, you'll just keep having it. I need a diesel right now like I need a hole in the head. But I still have it because I can't stand the thought of not having it. And that power, I got to have the power. And so you got to take care of them. And please change your air filters. Use the diesel air filters. Okay, that's all I got to say, Jimbo. Take off. Go ahead.
So yeah, if you're running a diesel, especially late model, anything 2000 and we'll call it 13 and up, air filter, super, super critical. Air filter, super critical. They get dirty, and they're going to get dirty. And there's, like on a car, there's all kinds of sensors, air mass sensors, airflow sensors in the air inlet tube, and they it's pretty much critical that you have a clean filter, because that stuff gets dirty and then it can't read the air charge temperature. When the air charge temperature is wrong, the turbo boost is wrong. So those little sensors are really critical. That's why the air filter is super, super important. And then, of course, you know, our lovely new environmental fluid, DEF, our DEF fluid. So, folks, if you've never had the experience of enjoying DEF, pretty much, don't. It comes on every new diesel. I don't care if you're driving a car, a diesel car, a diesel truck, with four wheels or 18. Doesn't matter. You're going to get DEF. DEF is highly, highly caustic. I mean, folks, it'll eat a hole through asphalt and concrete. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. So if you have to put DEF in, if you're putting DEF in a vehicle, be super careful. Use plastic gloves, because you don't want to get that on your hands. If you do get it on your hands, you want to wash it off. But it'll eat the paint right off the side of your truck, no questions asked. And, of course, you know, they make DEF tanks today, and you can see the white stuff running down them. For some reason, they want to make it so that when you put DEF in your DEF tank, it's almost impossible to fill. You got to just, like, trickle it in there to keep it from, you know, blowing back out. I don't know who developed that, but it's really, can be really challenging sometimes. But at least you're putting it in. Because when you don't put it in, now's when, and this is probably one of the biggest things that, that people run into. I forgot to put def in. Okay. So what happens? When you when the system sees that there's no fluid in the tank, it derates the motor. It says, oh, you're not going anywhere, or it'll give you the thing, you know, it's not working, and it'll derate you to 5 miles an hour, and off you go. And so you're thinking, well, all I got to do is put def in back in the tank, and I'll be good to go. No, Grasshopper, it does not work that way, because when you run the diesel system out of the diesel emission fluid, out of the def, what happens is it throws about 15 codes. So there's a dosing system code, usually two or three of them, because there's no fuel, there's no def in the system. So the pump goes bad, the heater goes bad, because believe it or not, def has to be warmed, otherwise it won't flow. So, and the heater's there. And when you, just like any heater, any water heater, if you run it without water around it, it burns up, just like your water heater, right? So, the pump goes bad. Then the heater goes bad. Oh, and now the def level indicator, or the gas gauge, so to speak, goes bad. Oh, so now you can buy that whole menagerie. Then there's a code for low pressure. Oh, there's no pressure in the system. Well, duh, you ran it out of def, right? So it throws a code for that. Oh, there's an injector code because the injector isn't pushing anything through. Oh, now the SCR, the after treatment system, says, oh, well, we noticed that there was a pressure differential anomaly. So now there's two more codes. Oh, wait, the SCR noted an irregularity because the def didn't, the particulate matter didn't heat properly. There's another code. Oh, and then the ECM codes galore. So now you get to go and take it to somebody who can, either the dealer or a diesel guy, and now they get to go through and start figuring out what is there other damage that occurred because you didn't put def in your tank. Did the injector go bad? You know, on a Ford truck, you run it out of diesel fluid. You run it out of diesel, then you will knock the injector slap out of it. Just like Jerry said, a little tiny needle about, the size of a pin, and rely on 100% of diesel fuel to lubricate the injector. And if there's no fuel in there, it's metal on metal, and it just wipes them out. Well, wipe out all the injectors in about 10 seconds. Now, so now did you wipe out the diesel emissions injector, the SCR injector? Is the pump not working because you ran it dry? We know the heater's bad because it burned out because it wasn't heating, and the level sensor's bad. So now you got to buy that to the tune of, I don't know, I think they're $500 to $1,500 depending on what you get. Oh, let's see, what else did we do? We got to air a bunch of codes in there. So now we'll get our codes cleared out, and hopefully we can get the repair properly. How far did you drive it? Is the particulate matter in your diesel plugged up and have to be taken out and either burned clean or replaced because a simple regen won't fix the problem? So and that's all that because you didn't keep your eye on the diesel level indicator. Just saying that is, I have seen hundreds of those, and I don't care if it's on a F-250 or a Ram 250 or a Duramax, or it's on an 18-wheeler. We tell them all the time, because I forgot. I only tell you this because it's a very expensive repair, and not
that's right.
You really want to enjoy. So, and it's funny and when you get into the system, so there's a. When you plug the computer, and I wish Brian had stayed on because he could have helped me with this. There's a plethora of computers that you get to look at, and there's the after treatment system that you get to look at. So,
right.
By the way, it just didn't tell you. You didn't get to fix all that stuff. You got to go back through and reprogram it because now it has logs.
Absolutely.
That you did this this event occurred. And so it thinks now that the system's still broken. So you got to go back through and recalibrate the entire system. You got to clear the dosing codes out. You got to reset the values. You got to check the fore and aft pressure sensors to make sure that the kilopascal differential is correct or within parameters. Oh, folks, mm-hmm. and then at the last you get to do a regen, which could take 5 minutes, or could take 2 hours, depending on your vehicle and depending on the level of soot that's in the thing. So yeah, that's all comes to you conveniently of I forgot to buy the $15 desk at Merle's. Or by the way, Circle K sells the stuff. It's $28 at Circle K, but at least it's there. So just saying.
Yep. It's cheaper. It's cheaper than running out. So people get this stuff, hang on to it, put it in there. I put 2.5 gallons in mine when it gets half gone. As far as I'm concerned, it's empty at half gone, and I go fill it up. That's how big of a chicken I am, because I know what it's going to do. So, I got to get in a couple of ads. Got to get in a couple of ads here real quick, our big guy. LensAutoBrokerage.com, LensAutoBrokerage.com. If you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle or a new vehicle, LensAutoBrokerage.com. Also, DesertRV.com. That's a division of Lens. It's down south. And he specializes in toy haulers. I've seen his websites. Go to his websites and look these things up. He's got his inventory listed on a regular basis. Easy to navigate website, and he's got a bunch of vehicles and a bunch of RVs. Parker Automotive, 520-323-1960, 5101 East Speedway, another excellent independent garage. They have all the high-tech equipment, beautiful building over there, 5101 East Speedway, locally owned and homegrown, 323-1960. Excellent shop on Midtown Tucson. And then you got Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist. We're pretty good, too. Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist. The reason I call it Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist, because that's exactly what it is. It's a drive shaft specialty shop. I can balance a three-piece shaft at one time. I have a 25-foot base on a computer, and we can handle anything from 9.5 inches across, like mine equipment, as far as cutting them. I've got the big lathes. I've got the balancers. I've got everything you need to do drive shafts with, whether it be aluminum, metal. We just handle it. We've been doing it for 50 years. So, yeah, we pretty much figured it out. Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist, 884-0217, Monday through Friday. Actually, it's from 7 to 5, but the drive shaft division opens at 8, but you can still get it in or drop it off, and, they'll take write it down, and then drive shaft, when they come in, they'll look at the order, and then they'll call you and tell you what's going to be and how bad it is and whether or not it's going to live or not. So Simmons Automotive, Simmons Drive Shaft Specialty. And yes, we pull them and put them back in too. So, okay, I'm good. All right, continue on, Jimbo. We can go on with that. Unless you got something else you want to cover. I do have some things coming up.
Go ahead.
But it's in March. I've got some stuff coming on. I got a swap meet at the Tucson Speedway on March the 9th, 6:30 in the morning, Tucson Speedway, 11955 South Harrison Road. That's a big swap meet they have annually out there. Bruce Tannenbaum is the swap meet chairman. I've known Bruce, but I forget how many years. I don't think I can count that high anyway. But I've known Bruce forever. He's a good guy, good guy. And also, we've got the first race March the 2nd at Tucson Speedway.
I will have tickets on the day of the race. Got the modified Thunder Trucks, Pro Stocks, Hobby Stocks, Bandoleros, Can-Am, and meet and greet. You get to go in and meet everybody, meet and greet. And that's on the March the 2nd. And then I'll have some tickets for that. Just tune in to 1490 AM or 94.9 HD4 FM. And for Simmons Car Care on Saturday morning, starts at 6 o'clock, runs through 8. All right. Let's see. What else we've got here real quick? Clogged arteries is like clogged injectors. Yes, it is. Batteries, I've already hit. Belts and hoses, people. Any rubber component on the car is good for about, it used to be Goodyear said change them at 4 years. And then they've improved the quality of them. So anywhere between four, depending on if it's a like a solid plastic, heavy-duty plastic hose or transporter. But everything is a 4 to about 6 years. Because in 6 years, it's got time to build up garbage on the inside. And 4 years, you know, it's got a heat cycle. Every time you fire a car up, the heat cycle goes through the hoses, whether it be the heater hoses or all of this other garbage that's on these motors now. But you've got temperature going in up to 212 degrees down to cold. 212 degrees down to cold. That's every day. So they do wear out. Have a professional check these for you. Don't touch them when they're hot. That's my safety tip for you. All right, Jim, we're about out of time, bud. What you got?
Oh, just real quick on the hoses. You're absolutely right. Don't handle them when they're hot. And you know what? It's really difficult to diagnose a bad hose, but the best way, get your hands on them and see the leaks. And that's it for us, folks. We're out of time right now. Jerry, thank you for having me on. Always is a pleasure. Brian, if you're listening out there, thanks so much for helping us out this morning. And we really appreciate that, too. For everybody, have a great and safe weekend. All right.